Hello, welcome to the Show Oshibeson podcast. Show Oshibeson is the lead pastor, Grace Made Christian Center, where we raise change agents. We do hope you'll be refreshed by God's word today. Happy listening.
You are that one that we need, oh God. We give you all the praise. We give you all the praise. When Moses was sent to Pharaoh, say, tell them to let my people go. And he asked God, what should I tell them? He said, tell them that I am sent you. So what that means is that God is everything you want him to be. Everything. He can be your healer. He can be your provider. He can be your helper at the same time. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus this morning. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Tell him, I say, neighbor, God is a hem to me. Glory to God. Please take your seat this morning in the house of the Lord. Amen. Can we celebrate the great psalmist for that ministration this morning? Glory to God. Amen. Are you glad you are in church this morning? I can't hear you. I say, are you glad you are in church this morning? Glory to God. All right, turn with me your Bibles, if you will, please. The book of Matthew. Okay, let's start from Genesis, and then we go to Matthew. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Glory to God. Genesis 17 from verse 1 to 9. Amen. Genesis 17. From verse 1 to 9. Are you there? If you're there, say yes, I'm there. If you're not there, say wait for me. Genesis 17 from verse 1 to 9. Okay, let's go to Genesis 22 so that we don't take too much time. Genesis 22. I was going to read the verse or the chapter for last week, but let's go to Genesis 22, verse 1 to 18. Glory to God. All right, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. Okay, let's read from the New King James Version. New King James Version. Are you ready to read? 1, 2, ready, read. Praise the Lord. Let's read like, you know, we are glad to be in church. 1, 2, ready, read. Came to pass after these things and said to him, Abraham. Verse 2. Him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Verse 9. And they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by stones. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up, a burnt offering, instead of his son. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. 16. And said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of the enemies. Verse 18, the last verse. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Somebody say amen to that. Was that a good read for us? Praise God. All right, let's go to Matthew. Matthew. I realize that a lot of people don't read their Bibles. So the only time they have to read it is when they come to church like this. So we'll read more. Amen. I said amen. Matthew 4, 8 to 9. Matthew 4, 8 to 9. We'll read together again. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. Okay. Are you ready? Are you ready? 1, 2, ready, read. Show him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Lord, we ask that you will bless your word this morning. Let the entrance of your word give light in the name of Jesus. Enlighten our darkness, O God. Speak to us the way only you can. Let your word come with power, with precision and accuracy in the name of Jesus. Let lives be blessed. Let destinies be transformed by the power of your word in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus. I just say loud amen. Just say louder, amen. So last week we began a discussion about prosperity. And last week we established the fact that we have to be covenant conscious. We have to walk in the consciousness that we have a covenant with God, all right, and that we have partakers of the blessing of Abraham. Glory to God. Before I go into how to unlock the covenant of prosperity, I want to share 5 reasons why you must desire prosperity. Number one, God desires you to prosper. He says in 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Psalm 35, 27, the Bible says, let's see that. Psalm 35, 27. Just let the Lord be magnified. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So God has pleasure in your prosperity. When you're prospering, it excites God. There's joy in heaven. Gabriel is doing backflip. He's excited. Glory to God. Number two, Jesus was prosperous. When some people read the Bible, they point to the fact that Jesus, you know, was a poor man. You know, I mean, he didn't enjoy life. Jesus was rich. In fact, when he was going to die, they were casting lots for his garments. Glory to God. He had the house, Mark chapter 2. Jesus lived a good life. He was rich. And I told you last Sunday that to be rich means to have full supply. So Jesus had full supply. Glory to God. That's not my emphasis. I'll just gloss over that. Number three, you need prosperity to live a good life here on earth. 1 Timothy 6:17. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them who are high-minded in this world. It says not to trust in uncertain riches, for the Lord giveth us freely all things to enjoy. So God wants us to enjoy here on earth. Romans 8:32 also validates that. Number four, kingdom expansion requires prosperity. Zechariah 1:17, we need finances, prosperity to push the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, poverty does not glorify God. Poverty does not glorify God. Glory to God. God has nothing to gain from your lack of prosperity. Amen. Are you in church this morning? So how do I unlock the covenant of prosperity? First of all, a covenant is an agreement between two parties. Under a covenant, both parties agree to fulfill certain conditions. So if I say you and I are in a covenant, what it means is that you and I have agreed to fulfill certain conditions. Glory to God. You know, I've seen different things of people entering into covenant. For example, if you have some transactions, all right, what you call contracts sometimes is a covenant, in other words. Are you with me this morning? Glory to God. So there's a covenant that God has with us, and that is the covenant of prosperity. Glory to God. So if either party fails to meet their responsibilities, the covenant is broken. And after that, there is no expectation whatsoever from that covenant. So if you and I decide or agree to go into a covenant, if you don't fulfill the part of the covenant or the part of your obligation in that covenant will not stand. Are you here this morning? Glory to God. So also, covenants or prosperity is a covenant that God has with his children. Amen. So we understand from the scriptures. I taught us last Sunday that prosperity is a covenant. In Hebrews 6, let's go there. Hebrews 6 from 13. And God is obligated. God will always fulfill his own side, his own part of the covenant. Glory to God. Hebrews 6 from 13 to 18. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Did you see that? So God swore by himself. Verse 15. It says, saying, or 14, surely blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, talking about Abraham here, he obtained the promise. So we see God swearing by himself. I mean, God swears, amen. Let me show you verse 18. Hebrews 6:18. Glory, 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 glory to God. He says that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. So God cannot lie. If God looks at you and says, by mistake, you two-headed human being, immediately you have two heads. Because God cannot lie. In hope of eternal life, who God, who cannot lie, spoke before the world began. Titus 1:3. God cannot lie. It's not in God to lie. If God gives you a word, if God makes a covenant with you, he says, my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish which I send it. It will prosper. So God has no business lying to you. So if God has entered into this covenant with you, it means that God is obligated by this covenant to fulfill his own parts of this covenant. Somebody say amen to that. Glory to God. He says, but as in due time manifest. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 6:18 again. This was where I was quoting. Amen. Oh, glory to God. That should be Titus 1:2. This should be verse 3. Hebrews 6:18. Hebrews 6:18. Let me just do the foundation, then we take our flight this morning. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Tell your neighbor, say, God cannot lie. Say, it is impossible for God to lie. Glory to God. So if the prosperity that God has promised is not finding full expression in your life, then it has to be from you. Don't you think about that? Because God is fulfilled in bringing his word to pass. He says that he values his word. God is a man that keeps to his word. In fact, the Bible says that because there was no greater, you know, power, God swore by himself. And he said that in blessing, I will bless you. And because you are a part, let me show you that. Galatians 3:29. And because you are a descendant of Abraham, you are entitled, you are a beneficiary of this promise that God made to Abraham. Glory to God. It says, and if you are Christ, if you are Christ, so if you're here, you're born again, all right, you are Christ. Please look at your neighbor and tell them, like a preacher, say, you are Christ. It says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you are heirs according to which promise? The promise that God made to Abraham. Let me show you that promise. Genesis 12. Oh, glory to God. Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. This is the promise. He says, I will make you into a great nation. So what this means is that it doesn't matter how you started. He says, I will make you into a great nation. This was a man who was just, you know, in the backside of nowhere. He was just here. In fact, at 75, Abraham was living in his father's house. How bad can that be? So he says to him, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great. No matter how your name sounds, God says, I will make that name great. In fact, have you not seen people that they brought their family to limelight? They brought their family to the world map. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? That person will be you in the name of Jesus Christ. Your email is not convincing this morning. He says, I will make your name great. So, there are places that people will learn how to call your name. Say, I am Tunde Sholenu. He say, I'm Tunde Sholenu. Say, no, it's not show. Say, show. Say, show. Say, I am Sheun Oshigbeson. You say, Sheun Oshbeson. No. When your name is great, you can pull some stunts. The reason you are still, you know where I'm going. Glory to God. Says, I will make your name great, and you will be a what? Blessing. You will be a blessing. He says, I will bless those who bless you. Oh, I thought you would say a loud amen to that. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. He says, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That itself is powerful. So this blessing of Abraham transcends you. It has nothing to do with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? It doesn't end with you. It's not because of you. Oh God.
says all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. Glory to God. How do you unlock the covenant? The first way to unlock the covenant of prosperity is through worship. Somebody say worship. Somebody say worship. Matthew 4. The devil, Satan, made a powerful statement there. Whoo, glory to God. Are you here? Said, are you here? Now, verse 8. Again, the devil took him, talking about Jesus, to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. The word splendor there can also mean glory. Can also mean wealth. So he showed him the kingdoms of the world and the wealth. And Satan speaking says, all this I will give you. So Satan gives wealth. So that's why you would always see people who are not believers, who also have wealth, who are wealthy, who have money. Because Satan gives wealth, but he gives wealth in exchange for their soul. So one of the mistakes you can ever make in your life is to be naive. There are some dimensions of wealth you cannot access until you are bowing down to a god. So, Satan said, all the kingdoms of the world and their wealth I will give you only if you will bow down and worship. So the first key to unlocking prosperity, the covenant of prosperity, is by worship. And I will explain this to you. Now, listen to what I'm saying. What he did, or what Abraham did in the book of Genesis 22, was worship. How did I know? Go there. Genesis 22. He says, I and the lad, we will go up and worship. So you have to understand that the way this world is structured is that it is a battle of kingdoms. It is a battle of spiritual powers. So there are some dimensions of wealth, of prosperity that God wants to bring into your life. All right? But you have to stay in that place of worship. Worship is you engage spiritual forces. The Bible talks about the wealth in Isaiah 52. It talks about the hidden secrets. The hidden secret. Go there to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Glory to God. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Isaiah 45. Glory. It says, I will go before you, verse 2, and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you hidden treasures. I will give you, did you see that? The treasures of darkness. Real treasure is not in the light, in the open. Real treasure is hidden. That's why it says it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. Proverbs 25:2. It is the honor of kings to search out the matter. So there are some dimensions of wealth. I'm not talking about, hey, you want to buy a car. No. I'm talking about the kind of wealth that you will lend to nations and not borrow. So he says, I will go. Who was speaking here? God speaking. He says, I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored up in secret places. See, there are dimensions to this thing. So that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you or calls you by name. You know, when you talk about prosperity, one of the mistakes you can make in your life is to think about a house, a car. You have one, you have a car, your wife has one, then Junior has one, then there's one for school runs. It means that you are myopic in your thinking. The kind of prosperity where somebody's turnover is competing with nation's turnover. It is hidden. It is gotten in the place of worship. There are some kind of popularity or fame that you cannot attain until you belong to some levels. Until you belong to some cults. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying this morning? Make no mistake. Don't be naive. And believe that everybody you see up there, they are just like regular guys. Like, you know, there are people that are using something. They may not be doing it directly, but they may have people doing it on their behalf. Some of their mothers are doing it on their behalf. Their fathers are doing it on their behalf. People are engaging in stuffs. There are people that every year they have to sacrifice a virgin just for them to renew that covenant of prosperity they have with the devil. So you have to engage in worship. These things don't just come. Glory to God. Say glory to God. Says, I will give them to you if you will bow down and worship. There are certain things that you cannot get until you press in. That's why it is referred to as hidden riches. It is hidden. It is not for everybody. It is for those who are willing to press in. Oh, glory to God. Say, glory be to God. Whew, glory. Number two, to unlock covenant prosperity. Number two is sacrifice. Sacrifice. I'm going to show you from the word of God. Sacrifice. Now, in demonic balances, people who want to attain some level of wealth, they make sacrifices. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? So they say things like, oh, the person did money what? Money ritual. They may sacrifice. They can tell them, go and get 3 rams. Or go and, most times, they use human being. Talk to me, everyone. So that's why what Abraham did was symbolic. That he offered his son is a typology. That there are some dimensions of wealth you cannot press into until there's a sacrifice. And I'm going to show you from the word of God. You need to make sacrifices to attain some levels, some dimensions of wealth. The Bible says that God spoke to him and says, you are going to offer your son to me, your only son. In case you are doubting and you think it's Ishmael, say the one you love. Because he had no love for Ishmael. So God was specific about his request. See, make no mistake. It says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable act of worship. So you see, sacrifice and worship going hand in hand. If you want to attain some levels of prosperity, you have to part away with something. You have to give what? Something of significant value.
I'm going to show you. So don't think I'm saying that you should go and sacrifice. Amen. Just calm down. Amen. I said amen.
But you see God making demand of Abraham, who is like the template that we have. And God said to him, go and offer your son, your only son, Isaac. You have to part with something significant, something of value. And every day, God is always asking you for sacrifices. And you know what? You know the funny thing? Sometimes all of those things is just a test. God does not need anything from you. He's just testing you. Checking your heart. You are in a meeting. God says, give all the money you have in your bank account. It's a sacrifice. God is saying, that land that you have, go and sell it and use it for so and so and so and so. Every day of our lives, God is asking us to make different sacrifices. Different sacrifices. Different sacrifices. And as you pass or as you make those sacrifices, your rank goes up in the realm of the spirit. And God says, it's like this guy is getting ready. It's like he's getting prepared. Tell him, say, neighbor, it's time to start making sacrifices. Can God ask you to give something and you will give it without looking back? Because God wants to know that your life is not attached to anything. God wants to know there is no material or financial thing that you have. Glory to God. Say glory to God. If God says to you, can you give out your car? Can you imagine? God spoke to Abraham. And then Abraham was going with Isaac to be sacrificed. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Isaac was a child of covenant. He understands how this thing works. Let's bring it to real life. Your dad, because sometimes we don't understand the import of these things. Your dad wakes you up in the morning, probably gives you a peck and say, my son, good morning, how are you? We're going for sacrifice. He says, get the wood, get the knife. He says, I think Isaac, then he says, you followed him, following him. Then he says, lie down. Then he tied him. Reply as a son. Say, daddy, are you whining me? Then he tied him. Then he told him to, he laid him down and took knife. And he, as he was about to slaughter him, the angel cried, Abraham, stop! Because heavens knew that Abraham would kill that boy. God knew that if we don't call this guy now, support him, it has gone. Question. Can God speak of you that there is nothing we give about you that he cannot give back to me? He laid that boy on that altar. And sometimes God wants us to sacrifice
some things and let them give way. Now, go to that scripture. Go there. Genesis 22. Go there. Go there. Genesis 22. Oh, glory to God. 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 Wow. Try that with a Gen Z. Dr. Jerry, what are you going to do? Say, Dad. Dad. Say, this is not giving. Say, Dad, look at me. Did I offend you? If there's anything I've done, let me know. I will apologize to you. Early in the next morning, Abraham got up. Go to verse 8. Abraham answered, God himself will provide a lamb for the... let's start from verse 1. Let's enjoy the word of God. Amen. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am. Replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham did not argue with God. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He says to his servant, stay here with the donkey. While I and the boy go over, we will worship. Did you see that? We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he carried himself, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Verse 7. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father! Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb? The boy was suspecting. That is like something wants to do him for the burnt offering. Verse 8. Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac. He bound his son Isaac, tied him with ropes, chains, and fetters, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. If at this point, some of you that is the last day you will call him father. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The boy was still lying down. Yeah. In fact, if he's just calling and say, Daddy, she's not a prank. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham! Abraham! Because the guy was going to offer the boy. When God speaks to you to offer some sacrifice, this is what we do every day. Always ask us for different sacrifices. Because God, if God gives some of you or some of us, if God gives us some certain level of prosperity, that is what will kill some people. Because wealth has weight. Prosperity has weight. Some of these people are praying for, if it drops, amen. Said amen. Said amen. There are people that once they start making some money, they now realize that a wife is not enough. I'm to marry, I've been thinking about it. See, after all, Solomon. Say, I don't know, for some time, then the accent without coming. Say, Glory to God. Then I say, neighbor, have you seen real wealth? Say, neighbor, are you expecting real wealth? Number three, to unlock the covenant of prosperity. Number three is uprightness. 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 Because you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore, the Lord your God has exalted you. As anointed you, pardon me, with the oil of gladness. Understand that righteousness unlocks the covenant of prosperity. Genesis 14 from verse 17 to 24. Genesis 14 from verse 17 to 24. Are you in church this morning? Genesis 14 from verse 17. Genesis 14. And Abraham returned from defeating Chedorlaomer, and the kings allied with him. The king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh. That is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High, of God Most High. And he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abraham gave him a tenth or a tithe of everything. Verse 21. Then the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a tongue or the tongue of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. You remember my spiritual father was here some weeks ago, and he said that I was church administrator of the largest and the richest church. Nothing was missing. Nothing was missing. I've had the privilege by God's grace to, even as a in career, to do and do stuffs. Nothing was missing. So the question is, if you have the opportunity right now to do certain things, to take some shortcuts, because Abraham said, not that I can't, but I will not do it, so that when my wealth comes, I can 100% ascribe the wealth to God. That is God that gave me this, not man. Glory to God. Say glory to God. And if you're here, all of us are faced with such things. At your business, at your work, we are always faced with such things every day. As a business person, you always have those opportunities present themselves to you that you can just a little lie, you can make some extra money, just some connival, you can make some millions, some hundreds of thousands. But Abraham said, I have made a covenant
The blessing of the Lord makes it makes rich and had it no sorrow. All of us, we presented. Glory to God. Say glory to God. Let me show you some scriptures. Proverbs 13:11. Proverbs 13:11. Oh, glory, glory, glory to God. Proverbs 13:11. Proverbs 13:11. It says, dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. He who gathers money, how? Now, let me say this to you. You have to deliver yourself from social media pressure, from peer pressure. Because everybody is trying to impress. Should I say this? Everybody is trying to impress. Trying to show that they are doing well. Amen. It says money gathered little by little grows. Proverbs 28:20. Proverbs 28:20. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. Let me have the Message translation. Message translation. Proverbs 28:20. It says, committed and persistent work pays off. He says, get rich quick schemes are rip-offs. Did you see that? Committed and persistent work pays off. That's why if you're here, you don't have a work you're doing. You have not started the journey. And let me say this to you. There's no work anyone is bigger than. Say, oh, that work. You don't have, persons don't have work. Say, that work is not my level. It's not my level. You know, I know my level. Yeah, your level is hunger. Hunger level. When a sack bag grab you. You know, I always say this, that no young person should be without doing something. Nobody. You know, there are jobs everywhere. Do you know that? Do you know that? You don't know that. You don't have a job. You can volunteer to work in a car wash and wash car and make money from there. From there, somebody will see you. If you are that good, if you are that smart, have you not seen people who were just, you know, get men, but they were diligent? Do you get what I'm saying? Somebody said, oh, the reason I dropped out was because, you know, I'm just bigger than that place, bigger than that school. That's why I dropped out. Then you ask them, what was their GP when they dropped out? Say, they were on fail. But if you dropped out and then you were on first class, then I think that maybe it's not for you. Because there are different people that believe that some things are just beyond them. Or they are bigger than some things. They are bigger than some things. I don't know if I should say some things. If I tell you my story. Oh God. If I tell you the things I've done in righteousness, not terrible things. Let me tell you something. I've never seen any father in the faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, mention them. Who were I do? None. None. You cannot be idle and be receiving prophecies. Say, this month is your month of supernatural abundance. You are claiming it. I receive it. I receive it. You are receiving what you are not making efforts to even get. When nothing comes on zero, it becomes a bigger zero. You'll be naive to think that there are people that do that. That some of you here, you've been to Herbalist before. Herbalist.
Some people look at their neighbor.
I mean, I've heard things that people visit Herbalist. Like, they are not in grace with in Jesus' name, amen? I said, amen. We speak by faith. They are not here in Jesus' name. But some of you, out of desperation, there are things that you just do. Your friend just told you that there's one baba somewhere. Say, they will see something for you. Say, it's not a bad place, so they'll just give you water to wash your head. Then they will pray on water and you will drink it. If I tell you what is going on among believers, because you cannot take the shortcut. If you want this covenant of prosperity to rest on you, you have to do it God's way. You have to do it. It may take a while. It may take time. But you see, when it comes, it's a flow forever. It's a flow forever. It never dries again. Once it starts flowing, it just flows like that. Glory to God. That woman was in debt. So what do you have in your house? Say, I have nothing but the cruse of oil. Glory to God. Let me show you something. Second Kings. Wow, what's the time? Glory to God. Let me just quickly show you this. And I sense something on this. Oh, glory to God. First Kings 17. First Kings 17. Let's read from verse 12. And then this happened, Elijah the Tishbite. Okay, let's have the new KJV. Let's read from verse 11. From 11. Okay, 10. 10. 9. Yeah. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there, gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. This was a woman who was in a mess. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. So this condition was a zero condition. You didn't ask yourself, how would they die? You didn't ask yourself. You didn't ask yourself, how would they die? How would they die? They were going to commit suicide. Oh, you didn't ask yourself,
Is that how death just comes? That we just eat and then we just die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But before you do that, can you see this? Sacrifice. Make me a small cake from it first. Don't worry, I'm not taking offering. Don't worry, calm down. But make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Somebody here, this will be your experience going from today. The jar of oil will not run dry anymore. Oh, I said the jar of oil will not run down anymore. In the name of Jesus. But God is asking you, are you willing to walk with me? Are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to put my life, put all your eggs in God's basket? Don't have other alternatives. Don't get rich schemes. Be upright. Be upright. Believe God. Job said, all the days of my appointed time, I will wait until my change comes. Keep walking. Believe God that God will show up for you. Worship God. Make sacrifices to God. Glory to God. As he speaks to you, as he asks of you things you have to do, respond to him. Sacrifice to him. Glory to God. Say glory to God. He tells you, can you pick that person and pay their school fees? Listen to that prompting. Don't hold back. Can you give this person this and this? Don't hold back. Because all of those things will accrue to your account. There's nothing you give to God that is a waste. It goes into your future. Glory be to God. Say glory be to God. Amen. Uprightness. Obedience. Obedience. The covenant of prosperity is unlocked when you do what God has asked you to do. Abraham's journey to covenant, to this covenant, began with Abraham. Leave. It began with a specific instruction. And let me say this, it is not every time that God will speak to you expressly and say, my son, arise. There are promptings in your heart. Some of you here, God has shown you your next 5 years as images, as pictures, nudgings in your spirit. He's telling you what to do. You are waiting for one spectacular voice. Can you act on what you believe that God is saying to you? Glory to God. Say glory to God. Obedience. Luke 5, Luke said, Peter said, we have toiled all night and caught not. Nevertheless, at your word, we will let down the net. Job 36:11 says, if they obey and serve him, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures, if they obey and serve him. So obedience is important. What is God asking you to do? Deuteronomy 28:1. It says, Isaac sowed in the land in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. Because the Lord blessed him. He says, if they obey and serve him, okay. He says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. Some of you here, God has been speaking to you about different things. He's telling you, don't do it that way. Stop that business.
don't do this. Can you speak to that person? Can you obey the promptings of the Lord? He speaks every day. He speaks every day. There are times that the pastor is preaching and God is speaking to you. You are not even documenting it. That's why it's good to come to church with something. God can speak to you anywhere, anytime. Ooh, glory to God. Say glory to God. The next instruction you will receive will be that instruction that will turn everything around for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the way God leads other people is not the way God leads you. God's word to us is customized. He speaks to us differently. Glory to God. I remember some years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, God said to me, go and get the job. Go and get the job. How do you explain a pastor? Gracemade had started. I was a full-time pastor for about 12 years. And I began to pray. And then God said to me, go and get a job. I'm like, what? What? How am I going to go and get a job? What will I tell my spiritual father? How? This is not normal. I remember for the first few months that I will be in that place, I will be asking myself, hope I have not missed my calling like this. But God had a plan. God had a plan. I remember I spoke to somebody and he said, this is the way you're going, that are you sure you have not lost calling? I said, I don't think so. But that's what I believe in my spirit. You have to learn to hold fast your convictions. What you believe God is saying to you. Are you here this morning? God does not lead the way he leads everybody. God can send you. In fact, he told Isaac, do not go to the way your father went. Say, go to Gerar. And the Bible says, Isaac sowed in that land. And in that same year, he reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. So meanwhile, God led his father to go to Egypt. But, God said to him, do not go that way. So you must understand the now word of God. What is God saying to you right now? Not what God said to you, but what God is saying to you. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth, present continuous, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If Abraham did not know what God is saying at that time, he would have killed Isaac for nothing. There's a now word that God is saying to you concerning your career. There's a now word that God is saying to you concerning your business. Don't hold the past revelation that you heard from God. Ask the Lord, what will you have me do now? Now, there's something God is saying to you right now. Right now. As you're here, God is saying to you, he's speaking right now. What is that thing God is saying to you right now? Some of you here, after this time, you need to go and lock yourself up and fast and pray and ask the Lord, what will you have me do when? Now. Now. Something is saying to you now. God said to me, shut down all the business you're doing and go into real estate. And I'm like, no. How? I don't know this real estate thing, you know. But when God speaks, there's an evidence that it's God that spoke to you. When God speaks to you, men may doubt you. But the Bible says, you know, wisdom is justified of our children. When God truly speaks to you, yeah, over time, there will be evidences, results to show that God really spoke to you. And I'm saying to you under God, that as you take that step to obey God, you will see God waiting for you at the end of the tunnel. Some of you, the next phase of your business is over. But you are sticking to it. What am I going to do now? They have known me with makeup. Oh. They have known me with this. God is saying, move on.
When we speak about spiritual abundance, you must understand what God is saying now. You cannot be wiser than God. Say, this thing, I've been this thing for years. I will now say that I'm no longer doing makeup. They will think that I failed. That is the problem. You are concerned about what they will say about you. That's why some people have remained on one spot. God is saying, move on. Can you move on from that thing, that business? I've left there. God commanded the bird, the raven, to feed Isaac. After that, he said, see, the raven's time is gone. Now I'm going to use something else. Because God changes the method sometimes. He can't change the method. But some of us, we are just too rigid. Thank you. So rigid and say, but you know that thing is not working. You know, it is obvious that it's not persistent that you need. You need to get out of it. Because sometimes we say this persistence. Meanwhile, God has moved on. How are you persistent in what God has left? How do you survive? How do you succeed? I pray in the name of Jesus, may your eyes be opened. Stand to your face. I said, may your eyes be opened. May you know the... Raise your right hand to heaven. I sense the grace. May you know what God is saying to you at this time in the name of Jesus. May your eyes be open to see. May you know in the name of Jesus. May your eyes be opened. In your career, may your eyes be opened. In your business, may your eyes be opened. In the name of Jesus, may God open your eyes to see what He's doing in your life at this time. In the name of Jesus, you will not be stranded. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the podcast. We're glad you're part of our community now and trust you are blessed by today's message. Please subscribe to the Sheun Oshibeso podcast, like and share as well. You can also find Pastor Sheun on Instagram at Sheun Oshibeso or at Gracemade NG.